Welcome to our day number 17 of our fasting prayer. We are almost there at the very end. And I praise God. More than anything, my desire is, as we have heard so many things from God's word, we will be able to use it practically in our lives. Because God's word is not only, you know, theoretical, it is also practical. We have to understand that God's word should work in our day-to-day life. It has to evolve out of what we do every day. You know, I remember when I was young and I was studying chemistry. You know, we used to have the theory classes about equations. You know, you add this to this and it becomes this. But it's one good thing to know on the paper an equation, but then it is another thing to go to the lab and mix this and this and see how the component changes. Do it practically, what we have heard it theoretically. So my desire is that, and this is my prayer for all of you. There is so much of content that I have shared, and I am just praying that God will help us to use that in our daily practical life. If you are not able to use it, the word will just slip from around and we will not be really benefited from God's word. Just giving a recap of what we have done so far. We know that God still speaks to us, whether we have the time to listen to him or not, but God still talks to us. He wants to talk to us. But there are many hindrances in our life to hear the voice of God. But Jesus has given the blessed Holy Spirit to be the one through whom we can hear the voice of God. There are many different ways of hearing God's voice. We looked into that. We understood that when we diligently seek after God, He will let us, you know, hear His voice. And we also have seen some disciplines that we need to have in our life in order to meet God in prayer and hear His voice. We also, the Lord has given us a heavenly language that we need to use in communicating with God. And it is through that heavenly language that God also speaks to us. On top of the heavenly language, God also gives us revelations. We see something beyond the ordinary, where God will show us something. Maybe when we are sleeping or when we are awake, I don't know. He can give us dreams when we are sleeping. He can give us visions when we are awake. But God gives us these visions or revelations for us to tell us what is our end point, where we should go. We looked at how fasting makes us very sensitive to hear the voice of God. Now we will speak more on that one more time. We also heard about how we can hear the voice of God through our inner witness, the voice of our conscience. We can hear the voice of God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God has given different gifts to the church. Number one gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has given people gifts in the offices that God has placed in our church. He has given us spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit, and we looked into all of that, and we can hear the voice of God. Yesterday night, we looked at how we can make correct life decisions by hearing God's word. I think yesterday we heard about how we can discern God's voice and discern the voice of God. I'm sorry. Discern the voice of God. And we looked at how Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. We hear his voice. And we looked at how four different ways how we can discern the voice of God. Today, I'm going to speak about something which is very practical. But many people have thought about that. But I hope it will be a blessing to everybody, especially the young people. Is how can we make correct decisions in our life by hearing God's voice? There are many decisions that we make every day. Every day we make decisions. Every part of our life is decision making. We come to some crossroad in our life. Unless we have a clear-cut idea of where we are going, we can turn any direction, left, right, north, south. We can take any direction unless we know which way we are heading. Unless we know the destination, we cannot make the right choice. So today I want to talk about how we can make big life decisions. There are a few life decisions that are very big. And I want to speak to especially the young people. Many of the older ones, there is no use of now even thinking about that. But for the young people, there are some decisions in your life which are going to affect your whole life. It's not small things like what do I eat for breakfast, or do I get up from the left side of the bed or the right side, or do I drink coffee or tea in the morning. That's not the decisions I'm talking about. There are some big life decisions that you make that has to be taken very seriously. Because if you make the wrong life decisions, I promise you, you can write it down, you will be suffering your whole life because of the decisions that you make. We have to be very careful, make life decisions which are big. Number one, as a child you grow up after high school, a big decision is, what is my career choice? Where do I go in life? What do I want to be? It's a very big decision. When I was young, I studied in a convent school. We had one of the subjects called moral science. Believe it or not, moral science was one of the subjects. In the moral science, they taught us that when you look at your life profession or what you want to do on your secular life, don't look at that as a career. Look at it as a vocation. Because whatever choices that you make regarding your future, what you study, you arrive at a place where you will be doing that all your life. It's not one day or 2 days. And it's called a vocation. So what I've learned, and that this is something I've learned from a young age, before you decide to make that big life decisions of what I should choose for my electives and for my career, what should I go? Shall I take the engineering stream, or shall I take IT, or shall I take arts or science, or finance or economics or humanities? What do I take? You have to look at it very deeply and understand that this is a big life decision, because you have to do it your whole life. Usually you cannot slip out of that. I know people who have taken life decisions based on somebody else's. Oh, you know, avaracha inde mone medicine poi monum medicine thanne ponam. Whether you know medicine or you are interested, no. The parents push you. I'm just taking medicine as a line. When I was growing up, our parents knew only two lines. One was medicine, one was engineering. If you are not in either, you are no good for nothing. That was the way it was when I was young. But I'm telling you, this career choice affects your whole life. And you have to be prayerful before you decide to choose, what do I do? The way you look at it is, Lord, how can I best serve you with the talents that you have given me, and I can be a blessing to other people? Ultimately, our number one should be about God. Lord, how can I serve you with the talents that you have given? Everybody are differently skilled. We are skilled differently. Some are good in math. Some are good in science. Some are good in arts. Some are good in drawing and other things. Nobody is bad. Everybody is differently skilled. Including maybe there are children who are not up to that rate, but they are also skilled differently. So you need to understand, with my skills and my talents, how do I serve you the best? That's number one. And how I can serve other people in the best way. Because otherwise, if you get into a life profession, you will be not enjoying your your career. Monday morning will be the worst day for you. You will be dreading to come into the office. Oh, I have to start working again one more week. Oh, why did I join this work? I would rather have done that, you know. If you think like that, think about the choice that you have made. I'm not talking about the older people. You don't have to listen to me, but at least there are some young people. You listen. You need to pray about it. Don't listen and don't make decisions because somebody else has made it. That's not the criteria for making. Number one, Lord, how can I serve you the best way possible? Number two, how can I be fulfilled in my work? How can I use that as a vocation to do your work? So that is number one of the first decisions that you make as a young person going to college. And as you grow up, the next biggest decision is, whom shall I marry? Because this is not one day or 2 days. It is till death do us part. It's a very, very important decision. Whom shall I marry? Who is going to be my life partner? Don't jump on it because somebody tells you, or don't get too emotional and jump on a decision without understanding if it is God's will. There are other things also after that. You know, where do I settle? Which is going to be my church family? I mean, what is it that you're expecting in your life? I mean, what is it? How can you serve God? Which job should I choose? Which profession should I take? Should I study further? Should I stop my studies and start work? Where do I stop? What should I do? All these are decisions that we all have to make. I wish there was somebody who led me when I was young to give me some of these handlebars, how to climb that steps in my journey of life. I wish there was somebody. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, but there was nobody to give that kind of a practical teaching. But I'm telling you, Bible is very practical. And we need to understand what the Word of God is telling us. So, for our key verse today, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. There is a couple of verses that we have gone through it on a different context. But I will tell you that this is an important, first of all, to get a handle around, about our relationship, how we are being led. It is led. I told you, it's a direction we are going. We are all traveling in a direction. We need to be led by God. He is the best leader. He is the guide. He is the shepherd. So, we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. Can somebody help me in reading loudly? Please, go ahead.
For all those led by God's Spirit are God's Son. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testified together with our spirit that we are God's children.
Okay, thank you. It says that as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, or these are the children of God. I want to just add something to here. In order to be led by the Holy Spirit, we have to be mature. Be willing to listen when the Holy Spirit is telling us. Maturity is very important. Because mature children of God, they are the ones who are led by the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? He bears witness with our spirit. He keeps on reminding us, listen, you are a child of God. You need to be led by me, and you need to walk in your life journey, and you need to be walking in the path that I'm taking you. And it takes up maturity. It is not for people who are not mature. Because, you know, when you are not mature, you are not willing to listen. One of the signs of maturity is that we listen more than we speak. One time I've said, God has given 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. We have to listen twice as much as we speak. But we many times are guilty. I am guilty many times of speaking more than I hear. But we have to listen, especially listen to the Holy Spirit, as He will lead us, He will guide us each and every day, especially in the context of making big decisions. What does the Holy Spirit do? Not only that He leads, not only He... the spirit that we have got is not a spirit of fear. It is not a spirit of bondage. We are free, but we are willing to listen when the Holy Spirit is talking to us. You are not being guided by a chain. Hey, you come here, like we guide an animal. No, the Holy Spirit gives in our ears. He speaks. This is the way. Walk in it, but we are mature with the freedom that we have received. We listen to God and we walk according to the will of God. We have received a spirit of adoption. We call Abba Father. And the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. Not only we are the children, it says we are the heir and joint heirs with Christ. So one day we will be glorified with Christ. Even though maybe we suffer with Him today, one day we will receive the glory with Christ. Now, I've already mentioned this verse. I will mention again. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24, tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. Imagine this. We have to pay attention to every word that is mentioned. The steps, our steps are to be ordered by the Lord. He delights in our way. When we walk according to the way He orders us, He delights in us. He takes joy and pleasure when we listen to Him and we walk in His ways. And the Lord is there close beside us. Even if we stumble, even if we fall down, we are not going to be cast, because God is upholding us with our hands. So in His hands, He is upholding us in His hands. So He cares about, one other thing I'll tell you, God cares about every detail in our life. He's not only about the some things and not other. Every part of the our life, God cares about. And it's like a dad walking behind a child who is taking the first steps. The dad is never away. He's close by, but he's waiting for the child to take that baby steps one by one. If the child stumbles, the dad is there to catch hold of him or her and make him walk straight. So this is how God wants to be in our life. We have to listen to His guidance. We have to walk according to His way. Now there is an important element regarding the decisions that we make. It is like a litmus test. You know, when a litmus test is put in a solution, you know whether it is acidic or alkaline by the color change. You know it is what kind of liquid it is. Just in that way, let me give you a first litmus test regarding the decisions that we are making in our life. Okay? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. There is no chapter 5. Colossians chapter 3. And look to verses 15 and 16. Now, each of these verses, I'm not going to rush through. We are going to just go a little deeper to understand what we are talking about in this word. Colossians chapter 3 verses 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful." There are a few key things that we have to take as the word of God is telling us. Number one, God's peace should rule in our heart. Number two, we have to be thankful. We cannot be grumbling. We cannot be complaining. We cannot be going away. We have to be thankful when God's peace is ruling in our hearts. And then it says the word of God should dwell in us richly. As it teaches and admonishes, and that will come out as songs we start singing. Even when we are driving, when we are alone, we start singing a song. Does not matter if it does not have a tune. God does not care whether we have a tune or not, but we can sing when our heart is merry and singing with grace to the heart to the Lord. So number one of the things I'll tell you, please write it down. Peace is a gift from God. We need to have peace from God regarding every major decisions that we make. Jesus himself was concerned about his disciples after he was crucified. When he appeared to the disciples in his resurrected body, you remember every time Jesus would come and tell them, "Peace be unto you. My peace I give unto you." Jesus wanted us to enjoy the peace of God that would rule in our hearts. So somebody has said that the peace of God should be acting like an umpire in our heart continually. Like a referee, you know, an umpire is the one who makes decisions about a play. In sports, you know, an umpire is there, or a referee is there. It's like a moderator, you know. It should help us to make decisions. And this peace should rule in our heart. It's very important. These words are to be taken literally. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ സമാധാനം ഭരിക്കണം. നമ്മുടെ ഉള്ളിൽ ദൈവിക സമാധാനം വരണം. അത് തന്നെ ഭരിക്കണം. ഇറ്റ് ഷുഡ് റൂൾ ഓവർ വിച്ച് എവർ വേ വി ഗോ. ബിക്കോസ് ഇഫ് ഗോഡ്സ് പീസ് ഇസ് നോട്ട് ദയർ, വി റിയലി ക്യാൻ ബി അഷ്യൂർഡ് ദാറ്റ് ദർ ഇസ് സംതിങ് റോങ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ ഫസ്റ്റ് സൈൻ, ദി അലേർട്ട് ദാറ്റ് കംസ് ഔട്ട്. ഹേയ്, ദർ ഇസ് സംതിങ് റോങ് ഇൻ വാട്ട് എവർ യു ആർ ഡൂയിങ്, ബിക്കോസ് ദ പീസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഇസ് നോട്ട് റൂളിംഗ് ഇൻ അവർ ഹാർട്ട്. And so, when we are always in communion with God, you know, we live by God's desires. Our calling is to live by God's desires in our life. That is the call that He has called. And as we live, as the peace of God rules in our heart, we should be thankful. എപ്പോഴും നന്ദിയുള്ള ഒരു ഹൃദയം നമുക്ക് വേണം. No matter what happens, brothers and sisters, when God's peace rules in our heart, we don't start complaining. We don't start finger pointing. We don't start telling other people about this person or that person. When God's peace is ruling in our heart, we are thankful. We are appreciative about the goodness of God. And when you think about the word of God that dwells in our heart richly, it is God's word that directs us in the next step of our life. So, you know, the Holy Spirit will reveal what God wants for us in the decisions that we make. So for anything, any major decisions, I want to tell you a few things that we need to understand. Number one is seek that peace always. If after you make that decision, if you have a peace, that is the best. I remember when we came here from Atlanta, we looked at many homes. In fact, we were very much interested in a home here in Waxhaw. In one of the builder's house, we liked that. We went up north and basically my desire was around that area. We went to some new subdivisions. But I will tell you, I'm not lying. You can ask Nisi about it. The moment we entered into the house that we are living in, all of a sudden, I felt God's peace descending into my heart. I felt this is the home for me. I didn't know. I didn't even do the at that time. But then after that, I did some research and we settled on that home. You know why? Because I really felt that peace in my heart. And I said, it may not be the best house in all over Charlotte, but this is the home that God has given. And I'm thankful to God, you know, for the wonderful ways how God has led us from those times. So whenever you go today, for example, you know, buying a home or something, you know, first of all, do the diligence that you need to do. Do the research. Understand about it. Understand the market. Understand the locality. Look at the school ratings. Do all of that. Look at the due diligence. Also, what we need to do is Seek counsel from people who have gone before us. There is a wisdom in seeking counsel from mature Christians. There may be some contradictory counsel that comes, but that will clarify where the Lord is leading you to make some decisions. There, with all the counsel that comes. But we need to be humble to listen to what other people are telling us. But you make your own decisions. You don't have to take somebody else's decision. But listen to counsel. That will definitely help you. But before you make the decision, I would say that we need to quiet ourselves. We need to still ourselves before God. We need to humble ourselves and still ourselves and wait upon God for Him to give us the green signal. You know, a big train like this, the driver will not move the train unless he see the green flag in the conductor saying, okay, it's time to go. There is something behind waiting for that green light from God to help us to move forward. So we need to quiet ourselves and be still, because that stillness is a surrender. And then we follow the peace that transcends and moves forward. Ultimately, when any major decisions come in our life, it is natural that we start feeling anxious. Okay, I mean, am I doing the right thing? Is this the right step? I've heard about people getting cold feet even before they get married or before they sign some papers. Is it the right one? Am I doing the right thing? You know, at that time, the Word of God gives us an instructions. We all know this verse. This is nothing new. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, don't be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You see, that, you know, to understand the path of God, we need to go back to God in prayer and supplication. Prayer includes giving praise to God. Supplication is asking God, Lord, am I taking the right decision with this? Ask God. And with thanksgiving, thank God for the ways that He has led us so far. Being able to make a decision, be thankful. Don't go to God grumbling or, you know, bring out a whole list of this, but say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. But, you know, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. How does God answer back? Look, here is the answer. Devan namukku engena adu marubadi irunathu. Did it say that whatever you pray, God will answer you then? No. It says the peace of God. Devathinte samadhanam. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Nammude hridayangalum manasine nammal guard cheyyum. It will cover. We will fill with a peace that surpasses understanding. You know, what is happening is, there is an exchange that is taking place when we come into God's presence. We are exchanging our anxieties and we are putting in that place the peace of God. So we need to understand it is only in His presence, when we come to God, that He will give us the peace that will rule our heart and that will allow us to make the right decisions. You know, our mind has to go back to God. Many times we don't consult God before we make major decisions. We need to consult God, brothers and sisters. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. There are, I know some of the verses are, I've already spoken, but I need to bring that verse because that's a beautiful verse. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. What is this? Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. It, thank you. It says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in you. Nammala devathilekku nammada aasrayam tirichale devam thande samadhanathal nammada ullu narakkum. Why? Because we trust in him. നമ്മള് ദൈവത്തിലെ ആശ്രയിക്കുന്നത്, മനുഷ്യരിലല്ല ആശ്രയിക്കേണ്ടത്, ദൈവത്തിൽ ആശ്രയിക്കണം. And then it says, trust in the Lord forever, because in him is everlasting strength. നമ്മുടെ ആശ്രയം നമ്മുടെ എബിലിറ്റിയിലോ നമ്മുടെ ചിന്തയിലല്ല, ദൈവത്തിൽ ആശ്രയിക്കണം. Why? Because he knows our tomorrows just like he knows our yesterdays. God knows what is best for us. And we know that God works everything good for those who love him. ദൈവത്തെ സ്നേഹിക്കുന്നവർക്ക്, നിർണയപ്രകാരം വിളിച്ചവർക്ക് സകലതും നന്മയ്ക്കായി കൂടി. He brings everything for good. So we need to turn to him, trust in God, and stay, our mind should be stayed upon God, because he is the one who will lead us through these ways. And let's also take one more verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16. Can somebody read? 1 Corinthians 2:16. Yeah.
കർത്താവിന്റെ മനസ്സ് അറിഞ്ഞ് അവനെ
ഗ്രഹിപ്പിക്കാവുന്നവനാണ്. We have the mind of Christ. You know, when you allow God to rule over us and him to direct us, we have the mind of Christ. The way Christ would want us to move, that is the way. We will be guided by his thoughts and his purposes. So we are looking to make correct life decisions for major things. So the primary way is, number one, let me tell you, he will lead us through the umpire of peace. We have to go through that bridge of peace. Aa samadhanam nammude ullil undengil, you know, that is one of the ways we can be sure that it is God's guidance. So number one, what we need to do before we make decisions. Let me tell you four things before I close down. Number one, commit all your questions to God. Namakku verna chodyangal ellam devathode, you can ask God, Lord, what will happen? You know, definitely do your research. Definitely, you know, do what is needed to be done. Kannu adichu devathode maathram chodikkalle. Make sure that you are fully aware about everything. You know, about all of that, and look at yourself and all that. But then number one, commit your questions to God. Number two, we need to quiet ourselves before God to find a posture where he can talk to you. We have to be not trying to pull God into one direction. Because if you pull God to one direction, God may agree, but that may not be his perfect will. Balaam knew what God's plan was. He said, don't go. Don't go to Balak and don't curse the people of God. He still went and asked God, and finally God said, okay, you go. He would have died if not his donkey had really warned him. He would have died that day. It is called a permissive will. Don't try to force God's hand. Many times we pray, Lord, I need this. I need this, Lord. You demand, and God says, okay, you take what you want. And then we go and suffer. We are carried by our emotions. We are carried by the things that we see in making some decisions. Don't be done. Come quiet ourselves before God to find a heart where God will start speaking to us. Number three is, we need to seek counsel from people who are knowledgeable in that area. Seek counsel from elderly people, mature people who have gone in that direction. And all the time make sure that you are well informed by good counsel. It is never bad to take good counsel from people. And the fourth thing is, I want to tell you, let our posture be of thankfulness. Knowing that God will provide us the answers that we are seeking, because God delights in us. He wants us to walk in the right way. When we lean on to God, he will guide us. He will provide answers to our questions. In a nutshell, this is the way how we seek the will of God. I will speak to a little more in details later, but I just wanted to give you that basic concept about seeking the will of God. Let us understand, end of the day, we need to do the will of God. As I close, let me give you one more verse and I will close down. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Thank you. It says that for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God will start working in us to do his will. He will give us, he will create in us a godly desire as we move forward in our life. God will give us a godly desire and we will have the power to do what is pleasing to God. You know, that desires God will give us. He will open up doors for us. And he will give us the answers we are looking for. But one of the things I want to tell you, as I come back to Colossians, come back to Colossians chapter 3, and I will bring you back to a full circle. Colossians chapter 3, we read that verse that let the peace of God rule in your hearts. But it says also what you need to do. Let the word of, be thankful, number two. Number three, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not little by little. Let the word of God dwell in us richly. What does it mean? You know, before Jesus was crucified, he shared with his disciples, we all know, in John chapter 15, he gave an example of Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. I want us to read one verse there just to understand what I mean by saying. John chapter 15, verse number 7. Can somebody please read? John 15, verse number 7. Thank you. It says, Jesus said, if you remain in me or if you abide in me, that's number one. So number one, we abide in Christ. How do we abide in Christ? We come close to him in prayer. Prarthanayal, with our communication, intimacy, we come closer to God. Number one. Number two, my words abide in you. Enda vajram ninde ullil vasikanam. Both of this have to act together. Nammala karthavil vasikanam and God's word has to abide in us. If both of them is together, it says that Jesus said, whatever you desire, it will be done for you and my Father gets the glory. What does it mean? When God's word is abiding in us, we will only think about the will of God. Because God's word reflects his will. God's word is reflecting his will. And when his word is abiding in us, we do the will of God. And so our desires will be exactly what God desires for us. So allow God's word to frame our questions, our mind. He will give us the blueprint. He will give us the map how to navigate in that particular decision-making process. Let's close our eyes. I want us to look to God tonight and I don't know, you know, there are people even suffering who have taken decisions without asking God for counsel. But every step that you take, make sure that you bring God into the center. Ask his counsel. Go to him in prayer. Read his word. Allow the word to rule us. And the greatest thing, let the peace of God rule our hearts. Let the peace of God guide us in every decision that we make. May God bless us with this word. Let's have a song and worship.